is the podcast that rocked for May 14th, 2025, the podcast that talks about everything in the world of rock, metal, alternative, and everything in between. My name is Luke.
My name is Alex.
And my name is Rowan.
For those of you wondering, Alex and Rowan are on assignment. Alex got about to hit up a very nice concert. Rowan relocating his office of his part of Rocked HQ into a new territory in the Northeast. Myself, I'm stuck in here being boring. So, thank you all so much for tuning in on this Wednesday evening of not weird stories. Okay, some of the stories tonight are just weird, disappointing, hopeful, heartwarming, awful. And that's about that about wraps it up. That's it. That's what we got. I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say. It's been a weird week like that. If we hit 52 likes, we would play at least one round of Festival Rock or Flop, where we book a random festival based out of a folder of photos that we actually see if we can build a good festival out of. Think of your local radio show festivals in the middle of the country. We'll try for one of those. Anyone that does super chats, $10 or more, will get their own random festival. And hopefully you all are doing well as everyone's filling in. I see one of our Discord mods in there. I see everyone else filling in very nicely. Thank you guys so much for participating live. It does help out a ton. Hit the like button, tell your friends, and be jealous of Alice because she's going to a concert tonight. What concert is that?
Halsey and Evanescence.
That's a good one. That's a pretty good one. Yeah.
It's a solid lineup. I mean, The Warning, Evanescence and Halsey, pretty good one.
Yeah. Also, it's a lady-centric show, which means all the sexist guys won't be there, which means there's actually a good chance that everyone there will have deodorant on.
Yay, deodorant. I brought extra.
You can actually breathe through your nose at this concert and it'll be all right. Are we ready to talk about the main story this week, which is what started as Bullet From My Valentine and Trivium going against each other and it not really being that anymore, but kind of still is, but we don't know. I know that sounds like a mouthful, but I assure you I described that properly.
Yeah.
So for those who are not aware, a little bit of history. We talked about this tour when it got announced and everything seemed fine. The Poisoned Ascendancy Tour. What is that? Well, that is the anniversary tour of the Ascendancy and Poison and everything else for both bands. They're going to play both full albums, just like many other bands are doing for anniversary tours. Isn't that great? Great idea. Great lineup. Great tour. You know who doesn't love that? Bullet From My Valentine mid-tour, who then decided we're done with this crap. We're going home, literally.
Ooh.
So, not everyone's loving that direction. Many of the dates already happened. It's not like they did 5 dates and said, screw you guys, I'm going home. A lot of the dates already happened, especially here. There were more plans to go through South America and then back to Europe, and nope, not anymore. So why did all this happen? And before I get into this, Alex and Rowan, I want to know right now, because everyone's going to ask, I'll state my claim already. I am Team Trivium. I've made that very clear over the years. Alex and Rowan, put you on the spot. Alex, Team Trivium or Team Bullet?
Are we talking musically or in this specific situation?
Yeah. Either. I don't care. Make a statement. That's what the audience wants.
Okay. Music-wise. I like Trivium overall more, but I love The Poisoned more. When it comes from Bullet From My Valentine. That's just like one of my top tier like albums ever.
Understandable. That's a good way to define it. Alex, how about you?
I'm going to go on this situation specifically and say I am Team Trivium in this situation.
Very nice. I am Team Trivium musically, and I'm also Team Trivium in this situation. However, it's not as much Trivium versus Bullet as everyone's really claiming, at least not anymore. On Monday, the bassist for Trivium, Paolo, said quite a few things, a little bit stressed out and frustrated with the breakdown of how it was a good tour. And I can't blame him. Quote, Matt Tuck didn't want to do it after we had planned it, after stuff was already in the works. Don't know why. It goes on. I think it would have been amazing. I think The Poison is a great album. I think the two records play very well together. And I think it would have been nice to give everyone around the world a chance to see the two together. That will no longer happen. But we're going to do North America on our own with other bands, and we'll have a lot of special surprises because we have more time to do stuff. So that's what it is. And he had a whole video sentence, like statement about this as well. He then went on to talk about how Matt Tuck specifically had no respect for Trivium or Trivium's road crew. That's where the reactions were coming about this. And if that's true, that sucks. Quote, when you make your first TikTok live and piss off the other bands you're on tour with, he also adds the hashtag justice for South America. And that's going on right now with all the tours and doing this. So yeah, it's not great. That was all day one. That was Monday. Everyone on page, everyone on board still, everyone together. I'm going to get your both. Mm-hmm. I want to get both your thoughts. So I just want to get through the spiel and the play-by-plays of the last couple days. Poison Ascendancy tour canceled. Day two, Bullet From My Valentine makes their group statement and puts it on socials. The main paragraph reads, as we head into the final shows of the Poison Ascendancy tour, we want to thank everyone who's come out to celebrate with us. The shows have been phenomenal, and we've loved connecting with every single one of you. Being in this band is the most important thing of the tour for us. We're incredibly grateful to have been given the chance to look back at our pair of life-changing albums for us and Trivium. We have nothing but respect and admiration for. Very professional, very nicely said. So what's going on now? It turns out with that statement, the reason why it ended, Matt Tuck got fed up with the rest of the band. Like, not only Matt Tuck and the rest of the band got fed up with playing the album over and over again because they're in the middle of writing their new album. They then went on tour to play their oldest album or one of their oldest albums front to back every single night. This is the Billy Corgan, I don't want to play my old songs, I want to play my new stuff situation. But
that's what you're advertising. It's bingo. Like you agree to it.
Ding, ding, ding for Rowan. That was the advertised tour. That's the point of the ticket sales. This is what you are selling. Now,
that is what you signed up for.
Correct. Yeah. And I do not have like ticket sale, Ticketmaster, anything like that. I don't know how well the tour was selling. I can't imagine they had any cancellations because of ticket sales, though. They had to have been making some decent money for this to be planned and going forward, right? If you're already on the road with that many people involved, you were that frustrated and upset that you just wanted to cancel because you're already playing the album you know how to play? It sounds like a weird excuse, but go ahead. Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong here. Like, I say like the Poisoned is still like the most celebrated Bullet For My Valentine album, at least kind of like it. I don't know, right?
A good argument for that. Not near the other albums, especially the last few since the 2010s, have not nearly been as celebrated. Is that a better? I think that's a better way to say it. Regardless of quality, it's not nearly as celebrated as the Poison.
And you're still false. It's like fans to this day.
Yeah. And see, this is why it's starting to feel like an excuse, because they want to go back to writing their new material. Also, and this is where it gets me a little bit, this is part of the bad advertising shenanigans. Matt Tuck and the rest of the band are infamous for going, our next album is going to be the heaviest thing we've ever done and the best metal album of the year. They say that every press release, every time, and it never is. I have emails and press releases proving that every single time. And what did
I say when bands say that?
Yeah. And what did he do to talk about this upcoming album they're writing? It's going to be the heaviest thing they've ever done. So get ready. This time he means it. Now that's mean. That's mean. But we go to day three.
I mean,
I know, right? And we go to day three. Matt Afey tries to mend everything, tries to rebuild some bridges. Made a whole post about how rough 2024 was, went online saying we need to actually calm down. The bands like each other. No one's angry. Matt loved every show, every day, every minute. He was happy on 2025 after a rough 2024 for him personally. I'm blessed that I get to play songs I wrote with my friends on stage every night. I get to eat at the best hole-in-the-wall traditional local favorite spots everywhere in the world. I get to train jiu-jitsu with friends new and old across the globe. Okay, now you're just bragging. I get to play video games and lift weights and do yoga and do FaceTime book time with my amazing twins back home. See the bragging. And watch my wife and I's favorite shows on my iPad while we talk on FaceTime. Although plans have shifted.
In the dream.
Yeah. Plans have shifted. In many places we are looking forward to visiting, we'll have to wait a bit longer. My cough will never go away. It's asthma. I know the Shogunate knows how much we love what we do. We will return everywhere, and we will show you a couple of the greatest Trivium songs we've ever crafted from our HQ. So, very nice trying to smooth the waters. Here's the thing, though. As I take a little drink, remember Paulo's video that he posted, kind of upset and frustrated, understandably. He posted another TikTok saying that Trivium was supposed to release a new single this week, and after all this mess happened, they said you probably should hold off on that. So Paulo said, oh yeah, we have new music ready, but now we have to wait.
Oops. I mean, like, when things are heated like this, when you have all these eyes on you for, like, let's admittedly the wrong reasons.
I get the look. I understand it, but.
Yeah. It just sucks that it's, like, it's gotten to that point.
It sucks that it happened this way in the first place. It's been a while since we've got in the Court of the Dragon. It's been a while since
that was 2021, right?
Correct. I was still in St. Louis when it came out. I know that. So it's been years. And yeah, it kind of sucks when something like that happens. And I'm not saying this is the end of you have to make a big divide. You're either Team Trivia or Team Bullet. Like it was Team Edward and Team Jacob at Burger King for years. And the girls all took that to heart. Yeah, you remember that? That was a real thing.
Burger King?
The war of the
at Burger King.
Because they made advertisements for it in commercials. And they had cups.
For Burger King?
Yeah, because Burger King got in on that advertisement. Oh, you don't remember those commercials? Yeah, big time.
The Team Edward, Team Jacob thing was so cringe in middle school. Every girl in school, like they were like fighting each other in the hallways. Oh, and it was like, I don't care.
That was everywhere. But the Burger King portion of that is what?
So side tangent, Rowan.
What if I was
Burger King? I went to college from the same. I went to the same university that the writer Stephanie Meyer went to. So every book there was released while I was at college and the movies. I was at ground zero for that nightmare.
Uh-oh.
Not only was it a big deal where I was, they had movie theaters, the first Twilight movie when it came out, showing 24-hour showings. They kept the theater open 24 hours just to have all the Twilight for that first movie. That's how
that's like my hell.
Yeah, it was that's that bad. It was that bad. Anyway, it's not going to get to that for Trivium and Bullet from a Valentine. Leave in the comments who you think would be Edward and Jacob, though, because I think that's funny.
Team Jacob. So, actually, no, Team Edward. I like Robert Pattinson more.
Yeah. And guys, also, there are so many Burger King commercials when they did that years ago. I promise I could not have made that up if I tried. That was all
sponsoring. I think it's so funny and that makes sense because they were just pounding it into your head and obviously it worked. But I did not see any Burger King Twilight marketing. That's so funny.
Don't tell me I don't give you guys anything for three. Burger King, Twilight... Burger King Twilight Cups, Burger King Twilight, the Twilight Saga Eclipse toy commercials. Burger King had the toys as well. Burger King Kids Meal for Twilight Saga. Yeah.
It's me, kids toys. Oh, God. Okay, real quick. Side tangent. You know how every big blockbuster movie now has like a themed popcorn bucket?
Sure.
Started with Dune. What would be like the Twilight equivalent of that? It's just like Robert Pattinson or Taylor Lautner's face.
Yeah, the werewolf mouth.
Make out
with it. No, werewolf mouth. Ew. That's exactly what it'd be, the werewolf mouth. That's it.
Gross, you guys. No.
Yeah, yes, it would. What are you talking about? Yes, it would.
The girl's just kissing a popcorn bucket in the middle of the theater. You tell me that wouldn't be it.
You taste like butter and salt, Edward.
Oh, easily.
Back to the actual music discussion. Sorry, everyone.
AMC, hire me.
I will say this. I'm looking forward to new trivia music. I'm sure Bullet's going to have a big plans because if they're going home because they just want to get back to writing so much, I hope it delivers. And I mean that sincerely.
I feel like it has to deliver at this point. If it's like, oh yeah, we love this album so much, or we are so confident in this album that we are willing to like close this tour early
and say, screw you to an entire continent. Yeah. I mean, it better be good. It better
be good. Yeah, no, deliver.
If you allegedly. Yeah, pull the plug on an entire tour because you want to.
Yeah,
it can't just be adequate. I legit think it can't just be adequate if this is like what you're doing.
Yep. So we should move on to some good news. We're going to be all over the map with our good news and bad news this week. But last week we talked about how we were wondering if Sleep Token would hit number one on the Billboard 200. Well, it's not confirmed yet. But all the websites and math is showing it probably is going to happen. The reason why
I'll
it's
take
not
my apologies now.
Well, it hasn't confirmed yet, so nobody. Yeah, I to guess, be fair, neither I of us ever went against it. But I'm just saying, it's not confirmed yet, so no one has to do any apologizing just yet. However, the reason why it's still taking some calculations is because there was some other big albums that came out that week, and they have to tabulate those too. That's part of it. You know, that's just the system. And the numbers do look good, though. They currently lead the way with 125,000 units, including 70,000 albums sold, pre-orders. That's massive. You don't get numbers like that anymore. So it is very possible now, we're just waiting on the final word, that Ghost and Sleep Token went back to back. Heavy Music had the top album on the top 200, the one few Billboard charts that actually matter.
So, and who said they who said it wouldn't happen?
Rowan was the first to say it would happen.
I said I'm still standing by that. It was completely warranted.
We don't know yet. Like again.
And again, it could happen. And if it happens, I'm very happy for Sleep Token. I'm not going to pretend that I want them to not make it to number one. But I will say, like, I see it coming.
Well, you were also saying, like, they're still green. This is their fourth album. They've been releasing music nearly 10 years now. I feel like they deserve it.
I didn't say green. I said green comparably to, like, Ghost with their build-up.
I was going to say, there is a big difference.
Ghost. That's not so bad.
There's a big difference, though, when you had Sleep Token, who had way less label backing over the years as well across several countries. Sleep Token, so much more of this is word of mouth. Yeah, so. And also, Sleep Token is also on their score to first number one album with Even in Arcadia. Some of their songs are still tracking as well. And that's nuts to me. Several of them.
You guys got favorites? I got favorites.
Rowan, go ahead. We want to hear your favorites because this is a big one for you. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Minus the singles have been released so far. I've been loving Dangerous, Gessimim, however the hell you pronounce that, Gethsemane. And Infinite Bass. Okay. Like, oh my god. Oh no, it looked a Windward too. That was such an awesome one. Like, Dangerous as well. Like, that has just become like my repeat song off that album. But Infinite Baths, it's like the title track of Take Me Back to Eden. I have to be in the mood for that song specifically, but when I am, it just hits so well.
Fair enough. Alex, have you heard the album?
Yes, and Dangerous is my favorite so far too.
Dangerous is also your favorite. Okay. Okay, fair enough. I am a fan of the Gethsemane Infinite Bass 1-2 combo. I also still like Emergence and Caramel. I also like Past Self and Provider. So.
But I got a buddy who really likes Past Self. It sounds like Zelda music, and I can't get it out of my, like, I can't see it not as Zelda music. It's not that
sound, chiptune sound effects really worked. It was something different, and I wasn't expecting it. So.
Also, by the way, the title track, too, is, like, awesome.
So. I say this now with all this Sleep Token news is because a lot more things have been breaking about Sleep Token that people are alluding to that might have some actual legitimate logic and processes that actually have this. Number one, Sleep Token are teasing something for later this year. Number two, whether that's more tour dates or the big theory going around, and this is not a small theory either. Many people are citing this and sourcing this and looking for clues that Even in Arcadia is a part one and part two is coming out later this year because the tracks actually loop and refine with it. So, and that's also the whole situation of which side are you on? And I don't remember the side. Sleep Token fans get angry at someone else. Are you on House of This or House of That? Whichever it was.
Yeah, the cycle must end. Yeah.
So if it's a double album, that also plays into that as well. So
here's the thing.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing, like, Even Arcadia is such a great album that I would be content if it takes a little bit longer for like the next Sleep Token album. If we have a second one, I will be like, you know, listening to that like the second it releases. But at the same time too, it's like, if it happens, great, but I'm not gonna be holding my breath.
Sure, and that's a very reasonable outlook on that. Other fans are not being as reasonable. Reddit is a dumpster fire right now. People trying to be like Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia with the yarn board and like the string theory stuff. That's what a lot of Sleep Token fans are doing right now with this mess. They are
doing the Pepe Sylvia meme.
They really are. Yes. So I'm not saying it's not something to get excited about. It absolutely is. But just keep in mind, this is a big year because next up, even before that new music, they're going to headline Download next month at home.
that's going to be massive.
That's what I'm saying.
See, with it's the not the,
too, yeah, it's, I know. It would be insane. That'd be a lot for 1 year.
They've mapped it out well. The tour already sold out. Also, if they get the number one album, if it does go through, then Vessel can just scoot his butt across the stage like a dog saying, "I told you so." And all the people the online saying they weren't worthy of headlining download, they weren't big enough. Well, guess what? They really are.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll take my trophy in the mail.
Let's flash back to that episode talking about that. Remember how supportive I was of Sleep Token?
You
Rowan?
Absolutely were.
You were just saying, like, it won't happen.
Hey, we're all friends, and the only one you're actually allowed to acknowledge was right is when I'm right. That's the rules of this podcast.
Thank you.
That's correct. Thank you. There are rules. You sign contracts. So, we'll give you more Sleep Token news when it happens, especially if you check the socials when we find out. And if it's confirmed that Sleep Token, even in Arcadia, got number one, we'll let people know. It's looking like it will be. This is hypothetical. If it doesn't get number one, whoever does get number one is going to have to go into hiding for a little, because the Sleep Token fans will go psychotic. Enemy number one. Yikes. So,
would you say, I gotta ask, are Sleep Token fans the metal equivalent of Swifties?
It's getting to that point, yes.
Yeah. I hope it doesn't go. I lived with a Swiftie, and it was absolutely, like, miserable. I would not wish that type of, like, fandom on my worst enemy.
It'll be a while before Sleep Token fills out baseball or football stadiums. I don't see that happening anytime soon. However, download's a big step. So, we move on. That was some good news. See? Some nice, refreshing news for all the good stuff we have. Remember a few weeks ago, maybe it was over a month ago, maybe, when we made fun of Kiss and Gene Simmons for hiring a roadie on his Gene Simmons tour, and he charged $12,000 to be his personal assistant, and we all said no one's going to do that, it is a stupid idea, and he had to cancel his tour anyway, and it was just a ridiculous, ludicrous scheme, and no one should support that in any way.
Cringe.
I have a lot to say about this.
The quotes from the father who brought his son to work for Gene Simmons Day, by the way. It wasn't just him. He brought his son along so he could watch his dad be Gene Simmons' lackey. Oh, goodness. The quote from the father, "You only live once."
Well, here's the thing. You're taking out, like, you're leaving out some context.
I'm getting the gist of it just fine, sir. But yes, there was a health scare, and this man is trying to do some things nice, and he also wanted to do it for his son. He also wanted to have some father-son bonding time that he never got with his father, was part of the explanation. That isn't a bad idea. Everyone has $12,000 to spend, right? According to Metal Sucks. Pretty quickly after it was announced, this man signed up. As promised, Dwayne Rosado, a 52-year-old retired correction sergeant from Middletown, New York, hit the road to serve Gene Simmons at the show at Count Basie Center for the Arts in Red Bank, New Jersey. Wow, a New Jersey show, too. As promised, Rosado and his 13-year-old son, Zach, spent the day with Simmons. During that time, he ultimately served as a glorified personal assistant. They shared a meal together. He got to help with the load-in, hang out during the sound check, and was later brought on stage with his son. Now, the quote again, "You only live once, and I want to experience life. I'm not going to die with a lot of money. I'm going to die happy." It also goes on, "My father wasn't there when I was growing up, so I'll tell you, it means the world to me to see a good father who stays with his family and makes sure the kids are raised right." That was from Gene Simmons. So
it's that statement I have so much, I have so many issues with.
So let's rewind. So his, Mr. Fontana's statement initially, totally valid, totally fair. YOLO, like, let's go have fun, do things. Hell yeah.
There's way worse things you can do with $12,000. There really are. I admit it.
But
it's limited, but
I would not spend my $12,000 like that, Mr. Fontano. Like, whatever. He wanted to do it really badly, and I totally appreciate where he's coming from. You only live once. Have these awesome experiences with your kids. 100%. But choices were made.
Yes. Significant choices. He's retired in his 50s. He has a 13-year-old son. and he wants to live life and he wants to do something with his son who's 13. First off, I hope that kid really was there for his dad, because this I just can't see the dad doing it for the kid. I see this more as please come with me type thing. And the kid's like, sure, dad, I'll help you out. You go.
I don't know. Depends if the kid's like a big fan, too. You know, it's like
possible.
It could be like,
I won't say it's not possible. Yeah.
Like when you grow up with your parents and you're like, you know, like my mom is a huge Kiss fan. So I grew up being a Kiss fan. It was Gene Simmons for multiple Halloween. So, you know, as a kid, you definitely feed off of your parents' likes.
Oh, did you both have normal childhoods? Did you?
Yeah, my mother grew, like bond over.
My mother grew up, had me listening to Barbara Streisand until I was about 8.
Oh, you poor, poor child. Halloween.
Yeah, I was not Barbara Streisand for Halloween. No, I was not. However,
I was raised up.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I was raised off of punk music, and people tell me that is very accurate.
Okay. Both of you had nice, normal childhoods. Very nice. I'm not jealous at all. I will think about that later. Okay. Yeah, musically, fine. Whatever.
We'll take that one. Yeah.
Yeah, that still counts. Yeah. Thank you. So there was a lot of stuff on there that said pretty quickly after it was announced, fans far and wide could do this. It came out late in March with a statement justifying the amount, stating it was due to astronomical insurance costs. So Mr. Simmons says the reason why it was $12,500 was because of the extra insurance to have a fan do this. I feel like maybe they could have cut a deal to do something like that, you know, maybe not charge that much to have be a roadie for a day thing. If you're just doing it for a fan, maybe that's me. But it still screams this, Gene Simmons wants a big bag of money.
Yeah, this is also just me too. But I feel like if Gene Simmons just wanted to do this partly just for the fans, something for like the super fans to kind of like, you know, appreciate. You couldn't like, you know, maybe just be like the one thing that you kind of like spend a little bit of money out of pocket.
Yeah.
And there's a bigger issue too with how the story goes that is also just like baffling to me.
Go ahead.
It's the part where the guy who already spent $12,000 to do this crap had to still spend the money for the ticket to for the show to be honored at.
Yes, that is true.
What the? Okay.
And the reason why is because it wanted the venue's cut.
Yeah, no, it's like, Gene, he's already spending $12,000. You couldn't just at least comp him the ticket?
You couldn't put him on the guest list? You couldn't do that for him, Gene?
I just want to remind everybody, Gene Simmons, I think, if I remember correctly, is like nearly 80 and already worth tens of millions of dollars. You couldn't just comp one ticket. You couldn't cover that.
Yeah. And also this 53-year-old with MS, he has multiple sclerosis. That's why he said he's retired early and stuff. But you couldn't cut him a little slack and maybe not make him, maybe not make the MS guy be your assistant. I don't know.
That's why I have problems with like the statement where it's like, oh yeah, my father wasn't there for me. So I really like, this is heartwarming to see. It's like this sounds so artificial when you remember he is charging $12,000 to this guy. Oh. Or he's charging this guy $12,000 to do this.
And he was happy to make that quote. So it makes him seem like a nice giving person to help a father with his son. That is exactly what that quote is for.
This nice giving person is worth an estimated $400 million. Then you can comp a ticket to a show for your roadie. What the hell is going on?
One ticket.
Oh, but he's bringing
his kid.
We got to pay for that now.
What do you mean you got to feed the kid? What does it eat?
see. I'm glad if the person that bought the ticket and got his kid, if they had a good time, I'm happy for them. Personally, if I had $12,500 extra and I couldn't spend and I wasn't going to spend it on debt or savings and I had to spend it on something, I'm thinking of all the other amazing things you could do with that. You could go anywhere in the world almost. So pretty
invested. You can buy a used car with that.
Yeah. Pretty luxurious trip to Iceland. First class there and back, you know, all these other things you could have done instead of give Gene Simmons that money, which, by the way, he's not going to notice in his bank account. He's really not.
$400 million. He could have helped this man have a good time for way less money or for free.
Yeah, so, and when you're nearly 80 years old, like, how much more money do you need? How much more money do you plan on spending in your life?
He wants more attention is also the huge crushing thing too. And that's it.
Well, that's just like my point too. It's like, you're nearly 80. It's like, what, how much more do you want to do is what I'm wondering.
Oh, we already know that because Kiss is reforming for a couple shows in Vegas. Remember?
Oh, of course.
Remember that we talked about, you know, that whole final show ever. We promise we'll just have avatars next time. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, trust me, bro. Yeah, that.
Saying that Gene Simmons is trying to get as much money as possible so he can afford to digitally upload his consciousness into a robot so he can technically live forever. That's my idea.
This is mean. I am confident there's already a creepy old man AI robot put into like an actual robot right now. Like, they already have that stereotype of creepy old man already programmed and ready to go to put into any type of physical body.
Do either of you guys play Fallout? There's like this one, like, sort of like a creature. I don't know if you can call it a creature, but like robot, where it's just like someone, like, you put someone's brain into a robot and they pretty much, like, their consciousness just like lives forever.
Yeah.
So they just get rich. People just have like robot bodies basically in Fallout. Right.
That's what they could do. Also, yeah, they could go the Futurama route where they just put your head in the jar and you live forever that way. Gene Simmons would totally do that. Gene Simmons would totally do that though. So, well, Gene Simmons is $12,500 richer. Get out of here, insurance. Get out of here. That is such garbage.
No way.
There's not.
And you're saying, oh, I'm doing this for the fans. Like, no, shut the hell up.
If you're doing it for the fans, I don't know if I've ever. Also, please, in the chat, correct me if I'm wrong. Has any other artist, well-known and famous or like unknown, ever tried to charge a fan that much money to work for them?
I remember the closest thing I can recall off the top of my head is that, like, Billy Corgan had held a contest for someone to buy him lunch. But that's buying someone lunch. That's not spending $12,000 to be a roadie.
That's still lame, but that's just lunch. I agree. That's just meeting someone for lunch. Eh.
That's just comparatively less scummy.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone in the chat. Maybe he'll be a better bass player if once he's a robot. Ouch.
Shock.
I admit that's pretty funny though. It's mean. He's a solid enough bass player, but I would have laughed if he said that about anyone, not just Gene Simmons. Well done, sir, in the chat.
For Mr. Simmons, because I know he's obviously watching the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. He's lurking.
Hey, Gene, if you actually give something away like this for free, we'll still talk about you in actually better light. So,
Much better light. The whole conversation would have been totally different. He would have allowed a father and son and the father to have MS to do all this for free. Absolutely.
Yeah, a feel-good story.
Yeah, no, it's like, if you're going to have publicity either way doing this, might as well make it positive. You can certainly afford it.
Also, feel good stories don't pay for the mansion bills. Sorry.
$400 million, Luke.
Yeah, that money's got to come somewhere. That's a big mansion.
That is enough.
You don't understand, guys. He has to cover his son's expenses after his son tried to rip off Bleach. So, you know, that's where all the money's going.
Well, it used to be $500 million. That's where that money went, $400
million. Oh, how will he survive?
He's eating tuna and rice at home, crying. It's like, oh, that dang kid.
Dang it. Cup noodles for dinner again.
Yes, cup noodles.
It's like, oh, boil a bag of rice again.
cold shower because I can't afford to turn the heater on. Man. Meanwhile, he
has beer is rolling rock.
Meanwhile, he has the Scrooge McDuck money bin in his back and he refuses to touch, just filled with cash. Yeah.
He has the money, like he has like the pool vault or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, we move on to a fun story, a little bit heartwarming too. Now, we talked about Turnstile last week with the crazy music videos coming out, and they're all going to be combined in this well-shot film festival sequence. Well, they did something else kind of on the lines of that, and it was shot on an old-timey, or not old-timey, but an older camera at 480p, literally like VHS style almost. And they had a massive hometown Baltimore show for charity. And it looked like everybody in Baltimore showed up. I almost wanted to go, but I knew it was going to be too wild. And boy, was it. Why was this cool, though? Because this was for everyone. And they raised a lot of money for charity for healthcare for the homeless. The entire concert, 90 minutes, is online right now on Turnstile's YouTube channel. I'll link to it in the comments later, everything else. It's so cool to watch this. You see a nonstop going of crowd surfers jumping from the stage and Turnstile's there for it, including kids, little kids. There's little kids holding hands while they run off to the crowd surfing together. Like, this is...
I absolutely love that footage. It's so cool. If you see it and you don't notice the phones in everyone's hands right away, it feels like a 90s video.
There's,
you
know, one what I mean? And there's one kid right now just on stage just dancing before he goes and jumps off. Everything is so happy. Like, you could tell this was a great thing that happened for free, for charity. So this is the exact opposite of the Gene Simmons story we just did. Everything was so good. Baltimore is a rough town, by the way. And
it turns out has nowhere near Kiss, the amount of money Kiss has.
No. And they have good money. Like, their label's backing them well because they know how much is going on with Turnstile at the moment and the anticipation for the new album. But yeah, they did this. They did everything right. It was just a flat stage, no background. Just let people surround the stage on all sides. The whole 90-minute performance is, again, is online from Baltimore. It's such a fun experience. I don't know why the charm is there for the 480p, but it does add to it somehow. Like, it's like
it totally does. That's what I was that's what I meant. Like, it feels good. It feels like throwing it back to a simpler time where, you know, we're just having fun, we're at a rock show and we're crowd surfing and we're all having a good time together. That's how it feels.
Everyone's getting broken ribs together.
You know, that's the energy I strive to have, like, one day. You know,
hang tight, I'm gonna do this, see how well I can do this, play this at super slow speed so that way YouTube doesn't really capture it and crap down on it. But yeah, it's just, it's such a mass of people literally there for Turnstile and for the charity event. This is the type of thing I want to see more of. Why can't more band? I know not every band can do it to this level, but it's so cool when a band gets to this level and this is what they choose to do.
Yeah, it's kind of like a hometown like show too. Like, yeah. I don't know, those are always really cool.
There are Baltimore, and it's like when you see the little kids consistently running, like, I don't know if, like, sometimes the kids are like part of the Cruz family and stuff, but all the times there's just kids coming there and getting to do this. Like, those are fans of life. That's how you make lifelong fans of the scene at rock.
Those are like
good way. Yeah.
Also, by the way, like, when it's like hometown, it's like a lot of, like, I feel like it's a lot of like day one fans, like fans that have been like with them back when they were playing in a freaking basement or something.
For Turnstile, yes, they were. And that is like a lot of people that, like, it's more likely for that to happen. It was a lot of people there too. So it's very cool that that happened. And someone's, the top comment said, so nostalgic for something that just took place 6 hours ago.
Right. I love it.
They did a really good job with this. I do recommend, you don't have to watch the whole 90 minute thing, but it is worth going online and just checking out a little bit to see how well done it is. So see, good things happen. It's possible. Also,
another that's a good really thing, good one.
Yeah, you know, another good thing for the future of something good happening. So we talked, I shared in our group chat about Nine Inch Nails teasing something called Future Ruins, but not saying what it was. We found out today, and this is the first festival of its kind because it's a composer festival. And I think that is awesome. Not only is it Nine Inch Nails, but it's also John Carpenter. It's Danny Elfman. It's Danny Elfman. It's Questlove. It's all these people that made serious like soundtracks and compositions and things like that for film and TV. It's a composer festival. It's going to be held in California. It's going to be in LA November 8th, one day. That is the type of cool thing that I want to see for something new. That's awesome. I don't know how well it's going to go happen. I don't know. But Alex and I, we talked about it before. When we saw Danny Elfman at Sick New World, he stole the show.
Absolutely. If it's anything like that spread across all of these different composers and their style, hell yeah.
Yeah. And then you add John Carpenter being there. Then you add everything else too. That is so, it's such a unique idea that I think this is just such a great thing. So again, tickets are going to be available Wednesday, May 21st. So next week at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern. If I could go to this, I would. Like, this is a...
I am super curious about it.
Yeah, like, this is like a once... This feels like a once-in-a-lifetime type thing. I don't know if they would have something like this again either.
I feel like definitely, like, I feel like it would be more kind of, like, impactful as a kind of, like, a one-time gig. Like, I don't know how... Because, like, here's the thing. If you do make it, like, a reoccurring thing, do you bring back the same people? Do you try and get, like... other people, like, what's the name of the one guy who does, like, everything, like, Bear something? Oh, my God, I'm blanking on the name. He scores a lot of stuff. But no, yeah. It'd be cool, though, just having, like, a concert for that type of thing.
And there's so... yeah. Nice. But there's just so much to work with something like this. I hope it goes off great. Again, it'll be November 8th, so that we won't have the stank heat of California that late in the year, hopefully. Also, I'm not familiar with the Los Angeles Equestrian Center. I'm just glad it's not Indio, where it's that nightmare desert spot you have to get to and travel into. It's nothing like that.
I'm so glad it's not in Indio. That would be wild.
So, someone else in chat. Yeah, I would be saying that's who made that the whole time. Like, to all the soundtracks and TVs. Yeah, that's fine with me. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff here. So.
Unless, like, unless you exclusively follow, like, movie scores, I feel like there'd be, like, a lot of, like, I feel like there's a lot of room for, like, listening to artists where it's just like, oh, wait, that's them, you know?
I feel like there's going to be so many amazing visuals with stuff like this, too. I mean, Danny Elfman.
Oh, easily.
Danny Elfman had so much unique, just individual personal stuff only for that festival at Sick New World. Like, they took the Simpsons clips and made it like a cool kaleidoscope acid trip. They had scenes from Edward Scissorhands that weren't in the movie. There was all this different stuff. So they really got creative. And I, John Carpenter would totally do something like that, probably.
Carpenter is the one I'm most excited about, because I freaking love him as both a composer and as a director, too. He's probably, like, I'm not even joking, as someone who has, like, studied film, Carpenter has always just been one of my favorite directors ever.
Sure. That is going to be super cool to see, for sure.
Yeah, I hope it does well. I'm sure it'll do well. I just hope it goes well, I should say. Like, I hope it performs well and, like, everything runs amazingly. We now move on to the unfortunate story that broke today. And this is where, if you're... we're going to get a little political just because of what's going on in the situation. We'll try to be brief. You know me by now. You know where I stand if you've been following Rocked for a while. So, you know, situations like this, I already have feelings about. There's a band called Lord Buffalo. They were flying home from Europe. They were going to have a tour. Their drummer was detained by ICE because their drummer is a Mexican American. He was born in Mexico, but he's been an American citizen for over a decade. He was detained at Border Patrol at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, and the band could not even get in contact with him for over 24 hours. Like, they hauled him away. An update now. The family, and he has gotten a hold of them. He has a lawyer now to represent him because of how badly this has happened. And the family's asked for privacy not to reach out. Again, the band's Lord Buffalo, so don't just reach out to the drummer and everything as well. But again, because the drummer was Mexican-American but has American legal status for over 10 years, like actual American citizen, they didn't care. They saw a Mexican. They dragged him away at the airport in Dallas. So, so I say this politely as I can, and I don't know Alex and Rowan's feelings on this, so I will not speak for them. But to everyone saying this type of stuff doesn't happen, yes, it does, and it keeps happening, and it could happen to anyone in this situation. Also, there are many commenters trying to debate, like, he was probably trying to smuggle drugs, he probably faked his green card. None of that was true, and they proved it. So what other fake excuses are you going to make for things like this happening? Because keep in mind, there are a lot of bands that we love that are not from the United States, and this could happen too.
Yeah, I just want to know, like, what what even put him on their radar?
Mexican in Texas.
His skin color, bro.
Yes, that's it. Mexican in Texas at the airport and in customs. Yeah. That's it. That's all it takes.
Yeah, but no, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, you know, like, he has paperwork. He has, like, he has approval.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. I feel like that he should be able, they should be able to just, like, show that and maybe, like, oh, we are very sorry. And they just let him go.
They should.
That's an issue,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
That's why it's a problem.
Yeah. And also,
it's because they're not,
they're not going to stop and look at his stuff. They see Mexican. They don't like that. Take him away.
Yeah.
That's it.
And look, like, I guess I should clarify, like, you know, regardless of political kind of like stuff, like, this is a person who is legally in the country. Yeah. So no matter where you are in the political spectrum, this should not happen.
Yes. Legal citizen, American citizen for over 10 years.
Yeah. It's, did everything right. Yeah.
So, yep. Again, he's okay. He has contact with his family. They have a lawyer representing him now in all this mess. Things should be fine for something that should have never happened. The fact that the band could not even contact him for 24 hours, that is terrifying.
That is absolutely horrendous and so scary. And I am really happy that this new update came obviously a little bit earlier. I'm glad that they have legal representation and I'm glad that they've had contact, but just still the whole thing, they still really don't know what's going on.
Nope. And what sucks about this too, they might try to brush it away with no answers and just say, sorry about that. Be on your way.
You got to get reimbursed if you're falsely in prison.
I would say so. Yes. Falsely imprisoned for over 24 hours under laws like for racist reasons. Yes, that should be a problem. Keep in mind, Texas. And that sucks to say, but Texas does their own things when it comes to non-white people.
Yeah, this is so sad. This is such a sad story.
I hope everything will be fine. I'm sure this is a nightmarish week, probably one of the worst of his life. I hope things get better. I hope that lawyer gets vicious and really tries to drag the ICE members and the cops and the airport security, whoever it was, and just drags them. So, but it's like it said, forcibly removed from our flight to Europe by Customs and Border Patrol at Dallas-Fort Worth. Forcibly removed. So,
yeah, it's such a fun one. And I think a lot of bands are starting to cancel tours to the U.S. Mm-hmm.
They have.
Do you blame them?
Or they postponed them. It's like, well, I don't want to fly out of the country right now either, just for my own stuff. And I'm not anything in a situation like this. It's such a nightmare. It's so bad.
It's such a bummer situation right now. And
it's scary. It's got to be so scary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy that we're talking about it. I'm not happy it happened, but I'm happy we're talking about it because more light needs to be shed on these types of things actually happening instead of these stories of, oh, that doesn't actually happen.
I am not only body cam, I am all for live streaming airport stuff as well, so we can see it happen. So that way there's no arguments about what happened, if it was right or wrong.
You know, again, like what I said before, no matter where you are politically, I think we should all agree that this is not something that should happen. If you are here legally, you did everything right.
Yes.
This is just not acceptable.
Mm-hmm. In the comments on all social medias, not just old timey racist Facebook, are all going, well, he probably had drugs. He probably faked his green card. You don't know if he was actually legal or not. They proved every single thing.
Yeah. You can prove that easily that he's not holding drugs.
They did. And they also proved his actual citizenship was valid. They had all that set. They didn't care though. They just removed him because Mexican. So
yeah,
maybe I should have ended with the Nine Inch Nails one. Maybe.
So you're having happy conversation.
I know, right? Well, I do want to say there's one good thing we could talk about. Again, got to take a little drink before this cough really kills me. Hi, Ivan.
Dude, that cough has been like with you for it feels like a month now.
It is. It's asthma and allergies now, but still, I've been more hydrated, so it's not nearly as bad. One big thing happened before we have to move on to our upcoming albums and other things going on this week. Some justice was served, and justice in the form of the court saying, get out of here, because Ronnie Radke's lawsuit against Anthony Fantano has been dropped. Now, what happened there? To sum up, Anthony Fantano is not a fan of Falling Reverse or Ronnie Radke and called him out of a lot of crap, both in the music and personal life. That's been very documented. Ronnie Radke, who says he's a tough guy, got his feelings hurt and sued. Defamation. Not only did the courts find Fantano was using free speech, they found some validity in the things he was saying and dropped the case, meaning it won't even go to jury or court. On top of that, Fantano is owed court fees to have to pull all this all together and lawyer fees. That is a hard L for Ronnie Radke. Hard L.
Ouch.
I feel like I'm saying this objectively. I feel like Ronnie, of all people, should have realized that, like, you know, anyone is allowed to say anything on the internet. because he very damn well does. So
much worse than anything Anthony Fantano has said as well. Much worse.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, you know, like, it's like, yeah, I'm going to use my freedom of speech to its fullest. But then, like, when people use that to talk about me, that's like, oh, no, no, I'm going to sue you.
You crossed the line, sir. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't infringe on mine, but that doesn't mean you.
It is an entitlement thing because of who he is. And I just still can't believe he's threatened to kill people online.
Okay, that's arguably illegal. You can't tell someone.
And he has done that. He's threatened to punch people, choke people, everything. Then.
Because you had that call to action. I think that it genuinely is illegal.
But then you have Avi Fantano saying his stuff, some of which he had actual proof for, like Roddy Radke's arrest record and everything. I'm taking you to court. And I'm going to sue you for defamation. Well, state of Connecticut didn't think so. It's not even going to court now. He could appeal, but that'll cost way more money and most likely end in the same result. So, justice for freedom of speech. Unless you're Roddy Radke, who's no longer has his girlfriend Paige and lost a critic online. I don't know. That's a good way to spin a positive thing. People in the chat seem to like it.
I don't know. I like the free speech thing. Let's end on that note.
Yeah, right.
Yay, see? Free speech.
I wrapped it up somehow into a positive thing. Let's talk a little bit about the upcoming albums and tours we have. There were a decent amount of tours that got dropped this week. Alex, if you are okay on your remote session before you go see your concerts, what tours do we have coming up that got announced this week?
If I miss any, fill me in, please. Okay. But we've got a couple of really solid ones. The Melvins and Red Cross just announced some U.S. tour dates. We've got Nothing More. They just announced a world tour for 2025 and 2026.
Nice.
Ingested announced a North American tour with Of Sulfur and Cell. The Acacia Strain just announced a U.S. tour with Body Snatcher, Ingrown, and No Cure and Tribal Gaze. This one's actually kind of funny. So The Who announced a North American farewell tour. And this cracks me up because they announced their first farewell tour in 1982. Mm-hmm. So we're only 43 years late on that one.
Oh, that's not bad. Not bad. Okay.
Not bad at all. But that will be a fun show. So, I mean, they've been doing their thing for like 60 years. So if you've never seen The Who, now's the time to do it. The Callous Dowboys just announced a U.S. tour. And
you say the Callous Dowboys?
That's their name. Yeah, they're a bonkers rock metal band. Absolutely. And that's how they got. That is how they got the name.
Exactly. Well, I'm being completely honest. I never heard that band before until now. That's hilarious.
That's funny. I love that.
Yep.
And it's not a tour, but Foo Fighters announced their first 2025 show. It's going to be pretty cool. October 4th at the Singapore Grand Prix.
If I'm correct, that's their first show, like actual advertised show since Dave became a dad again.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That is correct.
I just remember that week last year when I broke the news to both of you. It just broke your little hearts. You had no idea. Yeah. Good times on the podcast. The podcast that rocked, where happiness lives.
Thanks for shattering my dream, Luke.
That was a dream?
No, okay. Dreams, that was the wrong word there. Thank you for shattering my illusion.
Okay, that's much better. Rowan, we have some albums coming out this Friday, the 16th. What do we have
to look forward to? First of all, Linkin Park is releasing a deluxe version of From Zero. You know, pretty solid album. I know I think it was you, me, and Jay that kind of like talked about it, like, you know, a couple weeks back. Like, you know, it may not, like, the whole album itself may not like set the world on fire, but I feel like it's still a solid album. So, you know, I'm still looking forward to it. Pelican, a post-metal band, is releasing Flickering Resonance. So, you know, I gotta be honest, I really like post-metal. Like, you know, kind of like pushing the boundaries, just kind of like how post-punk kind of did the same thing for punk. It's like, it's always very like interesting to see like what bands like that kind of do. Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah. This is one of the bigger ones, in my opinion. We have Sleep Theory coming in with their debut studio album. No, not Sleep Token. Sleep Theory with Afterglow. Sleep Theory is like pretty cool. Like, I like them fine. Like, they're kind of like your typical modern metal core band.
They're a big band on a Sirius XM Octane for that style.
All right. Yeah. And then finally, we have Paul Di'Anno's In Memory Of. Everyone who is not familiar, Paul Di'Anno was one of the original members of Iron Maiden. He was the vocalist for their first two albums before Bruce Dickinson, who unfortunately passed away last October. And this album is being released posthumously. So, you know, again, just like something kind of like.
I'm curious to see what that is, like the recorded tracks that he finally did after that and everything, because he was a strong voice. Yeah, he's not Bruce Dickinson. Fine. He still was a strong voice.
Oh, dude, there are some absolute classics from his era. Mm-hmm. Phantom of the Opera, Rathchild, like the bass line of Rathchild alone.
Absolutely. So very good stuff. Cool to see. Our song of the week comes from this week, Alex, if you would like to say what the song of the week is.
Is it Hand That Feeds? Hand That Feeds.
Yes. Hand That Feeds.
Not like the, So Hand That Feeds by Halsey and Amy Lee is my song of the week. Obviously fitting because I'm getting ready to head down to the bowl to go see that show. This collaboration was nuts.
And she's going to hear that song live tonight, most likely.
Yeah.
Oh, if easily.
I hope so. I don't know. You know how sometimes you get people team up for tours and you're like, oh, they did that one song together. And then they don't do that one song together.
They're specifically together and they're not going to play the song they just released.
Either they do it tonight on Halsey's set or they close with it, whatever it is. It's five days old. They're going to play it tonight. And we're going to hear Alex squee from three time zones away when both of them are on stage at the same time.
Yep, that's going to be me.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, yep, that's my song of the week.
Very nice. You can check that out on the podcast, and I'll link it in the pinned comment below tomorrow. As we move on, we do have at least two super chats. Thank you very much. Coming from Ellie Yeats, I enjoy that Sleep Token album, but in further listens of Emergence, I'm hearing Patrick Starr singing the Arms Around Me segments. Can't unhear it. So he's saying he hears Patrick Starr when he hears an Emergence, come and put your arms around me. Take that what it's worth.
Okay. I do have to this is kind of like a little funny story. With Emergence specifically, me and my friends, we had an actual argument about whether he's saying at your side or by your side, because the lyrics say he's saying at your side, but me and another one of my friends, we swear that he's saying by your side on like the song, and it became like this kind of like argument.
It's a British thing. You can't always make out what they say.
Yeah, no, I always, especially with Sleep Token, they have like a history of people who kind of like mishearing lyrics, but still, it's just like, it's always kind of like funny when people argue about that type of thing, or it's like people's like sing along and then like someone's like, actually that's not what he said.
That happens online all every day anyway, so you got to correct people is the important thing for them. So
yeah, again, one of the guys in chat, Shocks of Eye, you know exactly what I'm talking about, brother. You were in that.
As we go to Heavy Metal Joker, commented this before, it's so ironic that the guy who wrote the line, nowadays everybody's so sensitive, Ronnie Radke, is suing people because he got offended by something they said about him. Yes, that is correct. Also, the man who says everyone's trying to cancel him, but no one can cancel Ronald Radke, just got canceled by the courts. So, yes. We have 42 likes. If we get 10 more, we'll do a second round of Festival Rock or Flop, but we do have at least one festival for Heavy Metal Joker. Alex and Rowan, are you ready to book a festival?
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Awesome. Everyone in the chat, if you haven't hit the like button yet, please do so. We'll do Joker Fest first. Da-da-da-da, as soon as I can find it. Every week when we get a certain like goal or people give super chats in a certain amount, we do Festival Rock or Flop, where we book a random festival of four bands to see if it's something we would go to or try to avoid like the plague. Here's hoping it works. I added a few more this week, just bands. There's still the outliers in there, and there's still the qualifiers and different things. Here's hoping this is not a disaster for you, Joker Fest. Again, keep hitting the like button, everybody. Number one. Dorothy, getting that Southern Rock style in there. Nice little choice. Number two, Parkway Drive, who just announced their Australian cruise with a bunch of other Australian bands.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Number three, Vended, the Children of Slipknot doing their own thing, and it's really quite good, too. And number four, Asking Alexandria. This is absolutely a radio station fest, by the way. Like, this is
14-year-old me would be losing his crap over this lineup.
So I think Parkway Drive's headliner. Is that right?
Vendon's open. Actually, over Asking Alexandria.
Oh,
there's popularity.
Asking Alexandria has longer fans. Oh, where are we having this? Okay.
Because I mean, that would determine the headliner.
I'm going to say Eugene. I'm going to say Eugene, Oregon. Just for the because we're going to go small towns for these festivals. That's how it always works. That's how we do it. So a Eugene, Oregon gets Parkway Drive as a headliner, Asking Alexandria, Dorothy, Vended. Does that sound right?
All right. I dig it. Yeah,
I dig it. I'm seeing yeses in the chat. Everyone say yes or no in the chat if you would go. Please hit the like button also if you want another round. If not, that's okay.
Yes. It's probably nostalgia talking, but like, I don't like, I never got like the Asking Alexandria hate. Yeah, they might be like a little bit, they're kind of generic, but I enjoyed it too much as a kid to ever like hate it.
Right. See, the only album I really ever hated, like I thought, I didn't even hate, I just thought it was bleh, was a few years back. And I do think it's a band of yesteryear. That doesn't mean they're like worth flushing down the toilet.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's, you could do worse, in my opinion.
Alex, would you go to Joker Fest?
Yes.
Yeah. Rowan?
You know my answer, yes.
I would too. This is a simple, fun one. You're not going to have a bad time at something like this. This feels like a very small DWP festival, to be honest, you know? So.
Little one-off on the way down to Aftershock.
Yeah, there you go. All the yeses I'm seeing, that looks like a success. Thank you guys so much for hanging out there. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and helping out with everything. As we all set up for going, and Alex is getting ready for her concert that apparently myself and Rowan were not invited to. Thanks a lot. Awesome. Yeah, also, she just mouthed the word sorry. Yeah, I'll bet you're sorry. Uh-huh.
You guys could come. Come on. The doors opened like 30 minutes ago. Let's go.
Uh-huh. Okay. Sure. So I have the portal gun. It's charging right now, so I don't know when that will be done.
Yeah.
Oh. So. No, I got to shoot. Before I could use it, I got to shoot it in your hotel room before I can, like, teleport there. Okay, yeah, it's gonna be too much trouble.
I don't know how the technology works. I'm so sorry.
Oh man, just tell them not to play the song we want to hear until we get there. That'll make up for it.
I'll let them know.
Thank you very much, Alex. You have anything you'd like to say before we start closing things down?
Nope, I'm good. Thank you.
Very nice. Get us all a t-shirt in our sizes. Just figure it out. By the way, Rowan, how about you?
I want to say Baroness was really awesome live last Thursday. Fun fact, me and my buddy were able to like talk to John like right after the show, mm-hmm. and John touched my friend's shoulder and literally he went, so like, it's kind of like funny watching my bodybuilder 6'3" friend be like, act all fangirl.
Now John Dyer Basley has another parasocial fan after him. Woof. Poor guy. thank you guys so much. I should have a video coming up next week. I am deep in the middle of working on a side thing with another group. I'll have more information as that comes. I already told people on Patreon a little bit about that. Things are coming. It's just in the infancy steps. We're all planning things. I promise more stuff is coming, and I'll have a new video on this channel coming up next week. Finally, Alex, do you have a joke for a week of us? Because 2 weeks ago, you got me to laugh. Last week, you got Rowan to laugh. You're on a roll.
Man, I hate it when you set me up. What if it sucks?
What if it sucked the last 2 weeks? So, yeah.
But it didn't.
maybe it won't this week. What is the joke of the week?
Decide your mood for the rest of the night, by the way, before you
get to the show. Oh, she's going to be crying during Evanescence for different reasons.
I feel it in my soul, Amy.
My Immortal's written about this. This is what my Immortal was written about.
Yep. She can't judge. All right. You guys ready?
Yes.
Yep.
All right. I had a great conversation with a dolphin the other day.
A dolphin?
He clapped?
Yeah.
No? Oh, I thought that was going to be a good one. I have nothing. Rowan?
No.
We just clicked.
Because it makes the clicking noise.
That's the sound dolphins make.
Well, I did not laugh. Rowan's gone.
If you, then I win. And Rowan left, so I win.
Rowan did leave. That is true. anyone in the chat laughing? Oh, we got dolphin emotes. We got.
They're not throwing tomatoes. They're throwing dolphins. It's a good week.
Wow, that sounds like a serious issue at that point. SeaWorld's going to come after you for that one. And that's SeaWorld.
Context. Yeah. Don't throw tomatoes. Throw dolphins.
Someone said slaps knee. Really? That's the knee slapper for you, is it?
Me leaving does not make you win.
Yes, it does.
Well, we'll have to. Well, I'm going to say play the crash cringe in his honor. No. His video's not out yet. Maybe then I will. Until then, thank you so much for all the emotes and the love. We will see you next week for the podcast that rocks, where we continue our journey of wild stories in the news and Alex's jokes that we will sometimes laugh at and sometimes think about way too hard. Why is someone throwing grapes?
I need.
Are they throwing the whole bundle of grape, or is it like one at a time, just like tiny little pellets?
Vitamin deficiencies. Thank you for helping.
Yes,
that's you're getting your vitamin C.
That's exactly what they were doing. Also, thank you, everyone. Austin. We will see you next week, unless Alex parties too hard at this fest at this concert tonight. Maybe 2 weeks for her.
I don't know. So, is someone throwing dabs and cats? How does that work?
They're throwing dabs and cats.
How do you throw a dab?
Good night, everyone.
No. I should clarify. Your joke was so bad it made me leave. It does not. Me leaving does not equate to a win.
Or maybe he left because he was laughing. Or maybe he left because he was laughing so hard in the hall.
No. No.
You slap your knee, you leave, you sigh, I win.
I guess we have new rules.